Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to remember those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must henceforth be forever cast into the abyss of dead names. In this moment of our remembrance, we prove with great grief and wailing the sincerity of our noble tolerance. What we once wrongly allowed in the ignorance of white privilege has become the cleansing rite of virtue signaling we use to prove our purity. Join with me now as we remember those we've lost. First, Byram, Mississippi's Gary Road Elementary School assistant principal Toby Price. For his utter lack of good judgment displayed recently when he went on a Zoom call with children to read them a book and chose the completely unsuitable title, I Need a New Butt. The publisher describes the plot as a young boy suddenly notices a big problem. His butt has a huge crack, so he sets off to find a new one. Will he choose an armor-plated butt? A rocket butt? I assume you see the problems here. First of all, the choice to read this offensive and vulgar book shows a clear lack of professionalism. Children need to respect their school staff, and this book makes a mockery of adult authority. How can they respect a man who makes jokes about the human anatomy? Second, in a misguided effort to bring humor into education, Mr. Price has undone all the good work parents and teachers perform to make children dislike learning in general, and school in particular. What possible benefit can be had from giving children an opportunity to laugh and giggle at school? Third, does he not see the danger in giving children terrible ideas like armor plating or rocket enhancements to their own bottoms? What if they try any of this at home? Fourth, and this is a matter most grave, what about all the poor children who are alternately butted? Gary Road Elementary is supposed to be an inclusive place where all are treated as equals, but can you imagine the marginalization and othering that took place when the children with uncracked or differently cracked butts heard their administrator affirming the normativity of butts different from their own? Would they not want to hide their differences and feel ashamed of their bodies? We're supposed to be body positive and teach children that their butt is just as good as any other butt. No, it is so clear this reading selection was inappropriate. This man was inappropriate, and the school district was right to wipe away his employment and put this whole mess behind them in the rearview mirror. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Second, the word squaw, and I apologize for saying it. As the Interior Department, now under the leadership of the first Native American cabinet secretary in U.S. history, has produced a working list of 660 places on federal lands and waterways that include the racist and misogynistic term and will shortly be proposing much harder to pronounce substitute names. The list includes well-known offenders like Squaw Mountain in Utah, Squaw Lake in Minnesota, and Squaw Valley Ski Resort in Lake Tahoe. In fact, California alone has over 100 places that contain the S-word and need to be rebranded. Now, as we all know, the actual etymology of the S-word remains uncertain, and the theory that the S-word originated as a reference to indigenous women's genitalia has been widely discredited. Nevertheless, the term has been repeatedly used by white oppressor culture to look down on Native American women, often as being subservient, less human, and sexually promiscuous. But even if we can't prove the word began as a slur, this misses the whole point. Offenses are not decided by facts and history. Offenses are determined by anyone who can claim to be offended. And if some of our indigenous brethren, sistren, and othern chafe at the word, we will banish it. Besides, I hate to have to remind you of this, but the whole point of continuously finding the next label or term to target for elimination isn't really about the words themselves, but about making white people feel harassed and beleaguered to the point that they become afraid to exert their racial dominance any longer. By making them afraid to speak for fear of offending us, we render them powerless in the commune of ideas. Also, by adopting words that are impossible for them to pronounce, such as Deo Wenaguda for Squaw Island, we disenfranchise him from his own geographical imperialism. Even if the S-word was perfectly valid, it would still be worth sacrificing if only for this value in the war against the white man. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
And finally, the terms breast milk and breastfeeding, because of their obvious heteronormative, transphobic, and anti-non-binary meaning. As enlightened health experts in the United Kingdom and elsewhere are now demonstrating with their instructions to nurses at their hospitals, it is far more inclusive to use terms like chest milk and chest feeding, or even human milk, which do not make our LGBTQ2SIA+ parents feel lesser about their biological differences. Yes, for years now, the pediatric domain has been held captive by a breastocracy of lactating heterosexual females and their bigotry-driven thought allies in the medical community who thought it was appropriate to adopt words that only covered 99.99% of their patients. But now that modern science has emancipated us from the cruel limitations of evolutionary biology, we should celebrate the fact that transgender men and other non-binary feeders have been saddened with antiquated terminology that reinforces the old stereotypes about mothers and their mammaries. In fact, even words like mother and maternal are being phased out in favor of more inclusive terms like parents and perinatal. Yes, we should all strive to obey our perinatal instincts and celebrate the chest milk revolution. Down with breasts and anyone who talks about them. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
And now, with these cleansing rites performed, may we all go forth in loving tolerance and microaggress no more. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.